We all have decisions to make in our lives. We make right decisions, we make wrong decisions, we make smart decisions, and if we're honest and quite frank with ourselves, we make dumb decisions, and we will continue to make dumb decisions along the line. But correct me if I'm wrong, but many times we find ourselves easier to explain why someone else's decision was wrong and unwise, while we can stand and justify our own dumb decisions as completely warranted. We end up judging someone else's decisions, and we analyze why someone does what they do, and we figure out why it is they did it, but it seems that we can't figure out why we did what we did. Every decision that we make derives from an emotion that we feel. And every emotion that we feel comes from a thought that we have had. And that is why in our lives we must be willing to be students of God. We must be willing to use the Spirit to filter our thoughts and filter our actions, and the thoughts and actions that lead to our emotions, that lead to the decisions that we make. Because our state of mind will specifically impact the actions and decisions that we make. And all of these things carry, all of these decisions carry forwards with momentum. The problem is that we make good decisions when we are in a clear state of mind. We make good decisions when our emotions are good and our thoughts are positive. But then we hit an obstacle. If we're not careful during that obstacle, our thoughts turn negative and we get sucked back into a deeper and darker place where our thoughts aren't all sunshine and rainbows, and we make another decision that is negative on our lives. And then we make another, and then another. And before we know it, the momentum of decisions has taken us to a place in our lives that we do not want to be. You see, if we are not careful, the momentums of our decisions can carry us away from Christ and where He wants us to be. But when we go back to allowing the Spirit to filter our thoughts, that is when that momentum will carry us to a new and a higher and a better place than one that we were before. But there is a catch to all of this. Before we can allow the Spirit to begin consciously working in our lives, we must first make that decision to follow Christ. And that is why it may look very dramatic at first. So if you would, turn to Luke, and we will be looking at verses 11 in chapter 5. So turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 11. This is what it says. So they pulled their boats up on shore, they left everything and followed Him. So what does that look like to follow Jesus? Well, for us, it's a little bit more abstract, but for the first disciples, it was a physical act. You see, for them, they truly were following Christ. They left their boats, their nets, and all of their supplies, and they walked behind Him. They followed Him. The first disciples didn't know that when they left everything, that they would gain everything. They didn't know that it would be like what it would be like to see a man being lowered through the ceiling of a house, and for Jesus to tell him to get up and walk, and that He would. They didn't know the chills that they would feel when Jesus would tell a blind man to see, and this man who was blind since birth would begin to describe the things around them. Peter didn't know what it would be like to be the one who God would use to speak to the people at Pentecost. The disciples didn't understand that this small decision would impact the rest of their lives. And if we can be honest real quick, from a human perspective, by all sense of logic, this decision that they made to leave everything was a dumb decision. Why? Because it meant that they were leaving everything. They were leaving boats full of fish behind. And that is how they made their living, by fishing. And the fish that was in those boats, I guarantee you, were the biggest and the best looking fish that they ever had seen. And I guarantee that that catch of fish was the most fish that they had ever caught at any one time. So by logic, this was a dumb decision to walk away from that. Following Jesus meant leaving behind their boats. And those boats represented their economy, their careers, and their whole lives. So if we were to take that passage of Scripture, verse 11, out of context, to take it with no knowledge of what happened before or what happened afterward, we would be sitting here today, again, calling those men crazy for doing that. But it's important to look up to what led up to that decision. We have to look at the events that led to that decision, and it gives us a clear understanding of why they made that final decision. So again, back in your Bibles, let's look at Luke chapter 5, and we'll begin with verse 1. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowded around him and listening to the word of God. He saw the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." How many of you have ever been faced with what seemed like to be a big decision in your life? Maybe it was the change of a job, or maybe it was asking someone to marry you. Maybe it was moving away from the place that you had always called home. Whatever it may have been, was it something that you were willing to trust God with? You see, for those big decisions in our lives that we have to make, sometimes God will begin by using small decisions to lead us to those big ones. God will start with something small and then go big. It's no different than what Jesus did with the disciples in the story. Jesus started small with them. He knew that they would need to take it one step at a time, one small step after another. So what did Jesus do? If we look at verse 3, it says, "He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore." A small step, using the boat. So if you are anything like me, there are times in my life that I jump in head first. There are times that I have found myself in much deeper waters than I originally had planned because of this. I think, oh, I can handle this. Oh, I can manage it. I'll figure it out along the way. But what ends up happening is I quickly become discouraged. I quickly begin to give up. And before I know it, it feels like I have failed. I've bitten off more than I can chew, and I choked. I see this happen when people decide to follow Jesus. They make that first commitment with such excitement, and they dive in deep, head first. And they go deeper and deeper. The problem with this, though, is that many are not ready to dive deep. I have seen people make the decision to follow Christ, but because of lack of guidance, mentorship, they become overwhelmed with truth and facts, and they begin to think that this life is for me. This isn't for me. I can't do this. I will never be good enough for the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about this idea, the difference between meat and milk. Sometimes we must start with the milk before we're ready for the meat. So sometimes we must start shallow before we go deep. And even then, as mature Christians, there are times that God challenges us with small things to prepare us for the big things to come. I know anyone who has walked with Christ for a number of years can attest to this, that God will challenge them with something small that leads to something much bigger. Let me tell you about a time in my life not so long ago where a small decision led to a much deeper change in my life. Back in the September of 2020, I found myself at a crossroads. I had been happily married to Nadia for 10 months, and we were excitedly waiting for our firstborn, Callie, to arrive. And in this last several months of pregnancy, at the last minute, we decided to plan a vacation. Now, the next parts are a little bit fuzzy, depending on whether you ask myself or if you ask Nadia. Nadia says that my friend Josh and I planned this vacation and then dragged her along with us. But I say that Josh and I planned this vacation to celebrate her 29th birthday. But either way, that September, we found ourselves in the beautiful city of Phoenix, Arizona. As we drove to one of the trailheads of the hike that we were going to take that day, we began to joke about the possibility of moving there. And well, like I said, I have a tendency of jumping in head first. And so as we continued on with that drive, I started to search for job opportunities in the area, and I found a church that was looking to hire a youth pastor. Now, I made the suggestion that we should go visit this church on Sunday. I used the excuse that we would be attending church anyways, and we hadn't found one yet, so might as well give this one a try. Now, I can't tell you much about that Sunday morning, but I can tell you two things. One, as we walked in and stood in the entryway waiting for the doors of the sanctuary to open up, Josh broke a picture that was hanging on the wall, and I walked out of that service the most restless that I had ever felt before. And up until that point, I'm pretty sure that Josh and Nadia still thought that I was joking about moving out there. Until we got back to the condo, and I began calling some mentors and close friends to ask them to put them down on a reference on my resume. And that actually became one of the most difficult things that I had to do. You see, I had been faithfully serving in my hometown since I had graduated from college. I was content where I was at. I loved the people that I served with, and I wanted to remain there for years to come. And so, though I was happy, if I had truly been honest, I had been feeling a sense of restlessness before that moment. And it wasn't until that we got home on Monday night that I sent my resume to the church, and I didn't think anything more about it until on Tuesday, about noon, I got an email, a text, and a phone call to set up an interview for that night. You see, over the past 36 hours, I had been praying and asking God to reveal what he would have had done through this situation. I was looking to see what God was going to do following my step of faith. Now, after the interview that night, which went really well, the next day I got a phone call saying that they had another candidate that they would be moving forwards with. And to say that I was disappointed, I can say that. But at the same time, there was a sense of relief on my part because, like I said, I was happy where I was at. But there was something that I didn't understand. I know how I had felt the prompting from God to begin going through that step of faith, to go ahead and put together the resume and to go ahead and to submit it. And there seemed like it was a closed door, but it didn't seem like the door was quite closed yet. But that decision to put together that resume and to submit it put into motion the series of events that slowly led to the peace of me resigning my position at Main Street in Indiana. It led to me supporting Nadia on a career advancement, on our move to Illinois, and ultimately to me standing here serving at Calvary. God used my small step of faith to show me that he had a plan for me down the road, in which, again, it was him who was leading me that way. Since that decision, God has taken me deeper in my faith. God knows what he is doing. All we have to do is to trust him and at times hold on to him as he takes us on that ride. So back to our passage of scripture for today. That is what Jesus did with the disciples. In verse 3, he told Simon to put out a little. And then in verse 4, he told him to put out into deeper waters and drop down the nets. Step by step, Jesus leads us. Decision by decision, we can choose to follow Jesus. And though people may judge us for what we do, I'm sure people were calling the disciples crazy for leaving their boats full of fish and following this man who had not yet proved who he was, who he kept saying that he was. But every big decision in our lives that others sees are compiled of a million little decisions that they don't see. But even then, when we see people who are not following Jesus, people who are lost in a life of addiction, or people who walk around bitter and unhappy, they didn't just wake up one day and decide that they were going to live a life of addiction. They didn't wake up and decide that I'm going to be a person that no one enjoys being around. It starts slowly. No one decides that they are going to live a life in depression. Every decision, good or bad, has momentum to carry us further the direction in which it's headed, whether it's beneficial to our lives or destructive. In Luke 5, we see the disciples were going about their day, what they do on a daily basis. They were doing their jobs. They were doing what they knew how to do. It wasn't like they woke up that morning and decided to follow this man called Jesus. It happened moment by moment, decision by decision. It wasn't something that started deep. They simply were going about their lives when Jesus entered in. They started by being willing to help out what was needed. Jesus needed to be able to get some space in between him and the crowd so that everyone could hear what he was saying. So he asked to use one of the boats, the boat belonging to Simon. And Simon was willing. But that's not all. The disciples were also willing to do what they were asked to do. They were willing to listen to what Jesus said. Maybe a little grudgingly at first. If you remember Peter's response in verse 5, it says, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." You know, I feel that. At times after I get home or we're at the end of church camp or at the end of mission trips, after dealing with teenagers for a whole week nonstop, I'm tired. I can be irritated, and all I want to do is lock myself in behind a closed door and be left alone. But because you said so, Jesus, do you hear that annoyance in his voice? Almost like, if you're nagging me, I'll do it. But he does it anyways. He didn't want to do it, but he does it. And what happens? Verse 6 and 7 tells us that when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Do you think that they were complaining then? No, they had such a good problem on their hands with their nets breaking that they had to call in reinforcements. You see, things may not always go the way that we intend or the way that we plan. We may end up standing at the shoreline frustrated, tired, and cranky, and that's when we may feel the prompting from Jesus. And the question is, we can allow the negative emotions that we're feeling to impact us to make a negative decision, or we can allow those emotions to be pushed aside and to obey the word of God and allow that to break the flow of our frustration. God can bless us so much more than we can imagine simply because we obey him at his word. So for the disciples, not only did their nets break, but so did their frustration. The flow of failure and the flow of fear were also broken. They chose the decision that made the difference, the one that broke that negative flow, the one full of truth. And for us, sometimes we don't make good decisions because we remain so caught up in our own discouragement, our own disappointment, and our own failures. And we remain so caught up that only through a distraction do we have our attention refocused. The Lord will place things in front of us to distract us, to get us to refocus our mindset onto something more positive. That is what he did here with Peter. Jesus came in and simply asked to borrow his boat. Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus had that plan from the start. Jesus is the one who made the first decision, the decision to choose what boat he was going to use. Jesus chose Peter's boat over the other. And just like Jesus chose to use Peter, Jesus will choose to use each of us as well. Jesus knew that Peter was a bit zealous at times. Jesus knew that Peter would act before he thought. Jesus knew that Peter would cut off the ear of the guard. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him three times. But yet Jesus still chose Peter. The same is with us. Jesus knows the stupid stuff that we are going to do. Jesus knows the stupid stuff that we've done. And Jesus knows the things that we are going to regret doing. Jesus knows the imperfections that are within us, even if we try to hide those from those around us. But yet, Jesus still chooses us. When we give our lives to Christ to be used for the glory of the kingdom, we don't know where that will take us. But we know that we must choose to live in God's grace from that moment of acceptance. We must choose to make the right decisions moment by moment, the decisions to follow him. We must choose to live as a disciple daily, to live a life that reflects him daily. But doing this all by remembering what Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For it is by his grace we have been saved through faith, by faith. And this is not from ourselves, but it is a gift from God. It's not by our works, nothing that we have done, so that no one can boast. Nothing that we do can save us." That is what the grace of God is all about. You see, we can choose to make the decision to follow Christ. That is our choice. But there is nothing that we can do to earn the grace that is offered to us by God. That is a gift that is free, and it is always extended to us for the quest, the taking. The question is, have we made the decisions ourselves to reach out and to take it? So today, let me ask you, what small thing is God challenging you to decide to do? What small thing has God placed on your heart to do? Maybe it's the start of deciding to follow Him, the start of receiving His grace in your life for the first time. Maybe it's the decision to follow Him daily or grow closer to Him daily. Maybe it's allowing God's grace to cover some pain, some hurt, some bitterness, or resentment that you've been holding on to in your heart. And when we decide to hold on to those things, they don't only negatively impact us, but they also negatively impact those around us, our attitudes, and how we treat others. And so when we move forwards with forgiveness in our hearts, we are set free in that. So is God asking you to do that? Maybe God is prompting you to do something new in your lives, to step out of your comfort zone and to do something new, to get plugged in here at Calvary, or to start something new here at Calvary. You see, each of us has been given special gifts by God to use for the glory of His kingdom. And so maybe there's a need that you can meet that no one else can. And maybe God wants to start and use you as a vessel to meet those needs. Maybe God is simply challenging you to trust Him more. Maybe you need to let go of the control on different things in your lives. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's even your job. To put your trust in Him, that He has a plan for you, a plan that is anything greater than anything that you could possibly accomplish alone. You see, we all make decisions on a daily basis, and we have no way of knowing how those decisions, the ones that we make today, will impact our lives tomorrow. So whatever it is that God is challenging you to do today, whatever decision that He's challenging you to make, I pray that each of us here today, each heart that hears this word, is open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to take a small step of faith that will lead to something that takes them deeper in their faith with God and a deeper understanding of God's plan for their lives. Because God has something in store for each of us, but we must have to make the decision to choose to follow Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, we thank You for the stories of Peter, this man who was some ordinary fisherman, but yet You chose to use him. You chose to use him to build Your church upon. Lord, we thank You for that story of Peter, a common ordinary man, because like him, many times we find ourselves feeling like we are common and ordinary. But Lord, we know that as we make the small decisions to follow You, that it's in those decisions, through those decisions, that You will take us deeper and You will take us farther than we could ever imagine before. So Lord, on our hearts today, lay the small decisions. Prompt us on what to do and give us the courage to do it. Lord, we thank You for Your message, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.